This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 265 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Oh, I'm a bit worried, mate.
What are you worried about?
Well, I've got a bit of a cold, and it might be bordering on man flu, and I'm just a little concerned during the course of the podcast,
yeah,
I may come across a little cantankerous and short-tempered and opinionated. Yeah,
and
as opposed to my normal, loving, warm self.
Right. Right.
So if it seems like I'm slipping away from my normal, warm self, you let me know, okay?
Okay, mate.
I'll make sure we stay on track.
Definitely let you know. So other than your declining health, how has your week been?
It's been about 7 days, funny enough.
Excellent.
It's been a kind of a non-eventful week, really. Nothing's happened, you know.
Right.
I did some workshops last week, kind of same old, same old. If any of the people who came to those workshops, they were fabulous. And I loved every one of them. We had some good workshops. I did a natural light workshop on Saturday, and the natural light was just diabolically bad. So that's always a challenge when this is no light. It's just flat, miserable, horrible.
So are your natural light workshops predominantly shot inside with light coming through windows, or are you shooting outside?
In and out. So we start off indoors with windows, and then we go see what we can find. But on a day where everything is kind of the same, you find a lot of the same. So it's always a little tricky to teach as big a range of skills.
But I would imagine that on a day like that, the indoor stuff would be easier to get away with than the outdoor stuff, wouldn't it?
Because
you'd have a fairly diffuse light coming in through the windows?
It's no bad light. You just got to use it properly.
Right.
What I want for my natural light workshops is blazing horrible sunshine.
Oh, okay.
I want the worst possible light for my natural light, and for my flash workshops, I want really overcast and cloudy.
Right.
Because more mood.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, given that you live in Melbourne, you should get plenty of that.
But usually I get the opposite way around. Yeah, especially whenever I travel. The day of the natural light workshop is always overcast, and the day of the flash workshop is always bright and sunny. And people say, well, why don't you do them the other way around? It's like, we know what's going to happen if you do that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter which way you go.
That's
it. It's not going to work out. And then last night I drove down to Country Victoria and to the Lal Lal Murrable Photographic Group.
Right.
Did a talk at their camera club.
Okay.
And felt like 1.3 degrees down there, I reckon.
Right.
It was even chillier. But that was lovely. Met some nice new people. And,
cool.
And it was nice. I love doing rural stuff. I love getting out into the countryside.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. Yeah.
Excellent.
And your week, has it been?
Fairly uneventful.
Excellent.
Been motorbike shopping.
Really?
Yeah. Unsuccessfully.
What's wrong with the one you've got? Doesn't have a GoPro mount.
I love the bike I've got. I absolutely love it, but it doesn't love my back.
Oh.
See, the bike I bought is a cruiser.
For you. It's called a car. So it's got this comfortable seat in it with lumbar support.
No.
And you can sort of tilt and you can even heat them up.
You know how long it would take me to get to work if I had to drive?
Really?
Yeah. It'd take me about an hour and a half.
How long does it take you now? About an hour and 27 minutes?
About 65 minutes.
Wow.
Makes a huge difference. And I get parking under the building because my bike doesn't take up a car space.
Yeah.
If I had a car, I wouldn't get that.
But
the thing is, it's a cruiser, which means that your feet are forward so that, you know, your back is arched all the time and, you know, I'm not getting any younger. And yeah, so
aren't you?
No. No.
Really?
Yes. That's a shock. Unlike yourself,
Benjamin Button.
Yeah. So I'm in the market for a sport tourer where you've got a more upright seating position and your back is a bit more straight and your legs are under you and therefore, you know, act as shock absorbers for some of the bumps.
It's a bit like one of those chairs that you wear for your computer.
Exactly.
Designed.
Exactly.
Why don't you just put those on wheels? That'd be a sight.
And strap a 1500cc engine to it.
They've got four wheels on them often. They're little coaster wheels. You can do that. That's a four-wheel drive bike.
Four-wheel drive office chair.
They have a mind like a shopping trolley. You can
exactly. Go so I've got my eye on a couple of different bikes, but it's just a case of finding a dealer who's going to give me a decent trade-in on mine. They don't like my bike simply because it's got so many miles on the clock.
Really?
I've had it for 18 months. I've done 48,000 Ks. And when most guys trade their bikes in at around about 10 or 15,000 Ks.
Oh, really?
That makes my bike look extraordinarily ancient.
Why do people trade them? Is it because it takes a long time to do 15,000 K normally?
Yeah, because most guys don't do the kinds of miles that I do.
Oh.
So, you know, most guys are just, you know, weekend warriors. They go out for a blat on the weekend and then that's it, you know.
Just about 300 or 400 K or whatever.
And that's it, you know, where I'm doing 700 every week, week after week after week after week.
So, it shows its reliability.
Mate, it does. And I'll tell you what, you know, I took it to a dealer the other day and they said, mate, this is, like, seriously, despite the miles on it, this is the tidiest looking M90 we've ever seen.
Wouldn't I expect nothing less than you.
Yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, the anal retentive man that
you
are.
That's right. That's exactly right. Anyway.
You probably hose it down every night when you get home and polish it.
Mate, I do once a week.
Really?
Yep, absolutely. And the thing is that in the process of doing that, you know, if I find bits that are working loose from vibration, I tighten them up so those things never become bigger issues, and I've had every service done by the book on time. So, you know, it's been looked after.
3 years ago, my daughter drew a face in the dirt on the door in my car.
And it's still there?
It's still there.
It's just got a few extra layers of dirt over the top.
It's still there. You know? That's children's art, you know. There's a painter called Basquiat in America, in New York. He used to do little graffiti stuff on the walls, and then he became incredibly rich and famous. And people would go around and try and find these things and rip down the walls.
Yeah, right.
And sell this art. So I'm thinking they're keeping the car door for posterity, just in case. One day.
A bit like Banksy.
Well, that's it.
Street art.
But, yeah, Basquiat was a lot earlier, of course. You know, right. Banksy's just a common copycat.
Right, of course.
The great thing about this guy, he used to because he was a homeless guy in New York, he'd go up, he'd want a pack of cigarettes, so he'd do a little sketch for a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, right.
The cigarettes are like $4, and they go up and sell the thing for thousands. Funny stuff. Artists. Speaking of
Now, we've got a stack of stuff that we didn't cover last week. Are you going to cover that, or is that just old news now?
I want to cover two things before we do.
Right.
I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but great friend of our show, Mike Holman.
Yeah.
Became a Nikon
ambassador.
Otherwise
known as Wol Footrot.
Wol Footrot. Do when you're alone together, so I don't want to know about it.
No, he posted photos on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and there he was in, you know, plaid shirt, shorts, and knee-length gumboots. So I said he was henceforth to be known as Wol Footrot.
And I gather that's the Footrot Flats cartoon.
Yes.
Okay, just for those who have, you know, taste.
Yes, for our American listeners who've probably never seen Footrot Flats.
You haven't missed anything.
It's a great comic strip written by a guy called Murray Ball, and I highly recommend you go and look it up. It's great.
Nothing. But Mike became a Nikon ambassador for New Zealand last week.
Wow.
And so I give him a big kudos and a jealous slap on the back.
Well done, Mike.
Yeah, and there's few people in the world I could think be more deserving, but he's certainly up to the top. he's fabulous there, Mike, so well done.
Definitely.
It's something I knew was possibly on the cards for 6 months or so, and it was great to see it come to fruition. So,
what exactly does that mean?
Probably nothing.
Being an ambassador for Nikon.
Oh, you should get him on and ask him.
I mean, does he get free cameras?
We should get him on, because we can laugh at his accent. well, let's get him on and find out.
Okay.
Let's get the Nikon ambassador for New Zealand on and find out.
We'll do that.
And we'll grill him.
Mike, expect a call.
With some barbecue sauce. And then during the week on the Shuttersync Facebook page, we got kind of critiqued a bit for our lack of...
For not enough links.
Well, yeah, no, I thought we had enough, but links to the wrong spots and all that sort of stuff. But by a guy called Brian Horton.
Yeah.
So you see, oh, who's this guy think he is, you know? So I've gone and checked his Facebook page, and oh, my God, dude.
Yeah?
Unbelievable. This guy's phenomenal. He's wonderful.
I haven't seen his Facebook page. I followed the link that he put to his Flickr page.
Flickr, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Oh.
Flickr, Facebook, same thing, but it's up with F.
Yeah.
F for photos.
That's some really nice work there.
He's coming. Really nice I've gone back and looked for the last 3 or 4 years of his work and seen his progression, and
right.
what he's doing at the moment is sensational. So Brian, hats off, dude. That's remarkable stuff.
Yeah, some lovely stuff there.
Definitely going to put the link in next week's notes to his stuff.
Yep.
But with a nudity warning, yes, there is nudity. Get over it, people, if it worries you.
Was there? I didn't see any.
You didn't see any nudity.
Certainly not in the more recent stuff.
Are you looking at the same?
Well, I thought I was.
Nothing but nudity.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go through.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, but you see, all these Renaissance-style paintings with nudes and alabaster skin and phenomenal lighting and great drops and there's fog machines and great, excellent lighting.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You didn't see any of that?
No.
Really?
No.
Very strange. Okay. That's all I saw.
Maybe my Flickr is displaying stuff in a different order or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you've got to see his latest work. It is latest, because it looks like he's changed it. His latest Flickr name is Saving Private Emily.
Yeah.
The work is sensational.
It is. There is some lovely stuff there, Brian. Well done.
How would you know? You're not looking at the stuff that I...
Well, I'm seeing Saving Private Emily, but...
His old stuff's okay, but his new stuff's incredible.
So is the new stuff on the first page or on the last page?
What's on the first page for me.
Yeah, right. Okay. So all I can see a ballerina.
No.
And there's a... What?
All naked women and... I'm going to send you...
How bizarre. You're obviously seeing something different. I'm looking at his photo stream. Should I be looking at albums or favourites or...
I sent through the link live. Here, we're going to live do it.
Live. There we go.
What's up, let me know.
Yeah, that's the same link that I'm looking at.
Okay. Well, the front page photos taken on.
Very first image, top left, is a ballerina.
It's a guy, naked, topless guy holding a naked woman.
How bizarre. That's not what I'm seeing.
Isn't that strange? So this was uploaded
just doesn't say when. Let me hit refresh on my browser. Exactly the same images all loaded up again.
How weird.
That's bizarre. And there's no nudity. Oh, I wonder, is there
you might have a filter.
I was going to say, is there a not safe for work filter on Flickr?
Have you got something on for the kiddie, for your son?
No, I haven't. But you know what it is? It's probably that I'm not logged into Flickr and therefore...
Possibly.
I'm not seeing...
But my computer's used to looking at porn, so it had no problem going straight to it. It's going, it's fairly tame for you, Glenn, it's saying in a mellow mood
something. Now I've got to know what my password is for Yahoo. I have no idea what my Yahoo password is.
Well, hang on a sec. I'm going to send you to his website.
Okay.
Because there we go. So we're going to we'll go just wait for that little dang thing to open there. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Why is it opening like that now? It's odd. There we go. Copy and paste that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, so you don't you just love a well-rehearsed show?
Oh, it's just awesome.
But yeah,
what's this photo box gallery man cave?
Yeah, so his
this is also Brian.
It's called Man Cave. Is his thing? Right. He's just come out with a book called Man Cave Volume 1. So he's built a studio, a bespoke studio.
Okay,
looks about 6 months ago, and it's obviously called Man Cave.
Yep,
just taking a stab in the dark.
Right,
Man Cave.
Now I can see the images you're talking about.
Yeah, so now we're talking about some seriously good work.
Wow,
you know?
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Smart ass, isn't he? Hate that, yeah.
Wow. Nice stuff.
His work is exceptionally good. So anyone who loves fine art nudes, and these are indeed fine art nudes,
would
look good on any Rembrandt and Picasso, not Picasso, that's weird, but any classical nude imagery, it's just fantastic. So his work is beautiful.
There's some lovely work, Brian.
Jealous as all get out. Love his props, you know?
Yeah.
Jealous for just the props. So props to you, Brian, for having good props. But tell us where you get your props from, Brian. That'd be nice to know as well. That's cool stuff. So, and I think you need to do something with your Flickr, dude. That's kind of very strange.
the image called Lulu.
Lulu?
Yeah, which has got like a naked female resting on boxes covered in drapes and a Balinese statue head kind of thing beside it.
Just pull those ones
love
up.
The, I love just all of the drapes over things like that. It's just great.
He has said he has some sensational. Some of his lighting is exceptionally good as well. So his ability, but I said there's been a real progression in his work going back through his Flickr
through the Flickr stream.
I'm making assumptions here because I don't know Brian.
Yeah,
but I'm seeing a development over say 3 years, which is astounding.
Right,
from where he was from the images I'm seeing 3 years ago. And that should give everyone hope. Not saying this stuff was horrendous 3 years ago, but for everyone who's on a journey wanting to be better, look at this progression
over
a period of a few years is fabulous.
To
the quality of work that he's doing. Now, I bet you Anthony Bryan's still not happy with his work. I mean, he still wants to be better, but don't we all?
Yeah.
But yeah, his progression is fantastic. So it's, kudos to the man.
I think I might have just snagged my login for Flickr. Oh, there we go. Awesome.
Does it make a difference?
Yes. So now I can see all of the stuff that's in his stream. So yeah. So obviously, if you're not logged into Flickr, then you get
if he's got privacy or rating. I think when you're posting photos, you can click like adult content or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Not that I'd call any of this stuff adult content. I'd say
as you said, it's really well shot, fine art.
It's fabulous.
And yeah, I see what you mean about the fog machine. That looks awesome.
Yeah, great fog, great props. Yeah.
Wow.
And really well used. But once again, it all comes down as good as it was. Well, he's pretty darn good at Photoshop too. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But his, and that's just me being jealous because I'm crap at it. But his understanding of lighting is fantastic. And once again, lighting is what makes the photos work.
Yeah.
You know? And each image that is incredibly strong is based on fantastic lighting.
Yeah.
Can't beat that. So kudos.
Wow.
So, now, once again, not wanting to be rude about as far as insulting anyone's art.
Right.
But there's a shot here I'm about to send to you.
Yeah.
It would look fabulous on velvet. You know, the old 70s velvet, like black photos on velvet, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Elvis on velvet and the cards playing poker, printed on. Yeah. Dogs, that's what I say, the cards playing poker. Yeah. They play poker all the time, don't they?
Oh, right. Okay.
That would look fabulous on
it would.
On velvet.
Wow.
So do yourself a favour, as our old Australian friend Molly Meldrum used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check out his photos. They're fabulous. Thanks for picking on our stuff, Brian. We love it when people give it back to us.
Yep.
And B, for showing us this awesome work.
Yep.
Inspiring stuff.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's talk about someone else. Let's talk about us for a while. We've hardly talked about us, well, me especially, minutes. No, and another listener, I want to send kudos out to another listener.
Yep.
To Dave Foggan.
Oh, okay.
Who had a photo up on Facebook tonight of his car been lit up against the sunset, and he reckoned the photo was so good it would make a Mazda commercial. So
yes.
So he turned it into a Mazda commercial.
Yes.
It was fabulous. So, good job, dude. Yeah.
Yep. Well done, David.
So they might see. I told you this flu was going to make me odd. I'm being nice to people all over the place.
Completely out of character.
I'd like to say I love Adam Davidson. I love Steve Peters. I love you. I love all of you.
Yeah. All right. So, are we covering any of the links from last week?
Oh, we should have looked at something, I guess, wouldn't we?
Okay.
Since neither of us probably researched much this week. Before we do, I'll talk about one other thing. One other thing.
Yep.
Because it, just in a weird coincidence, this week has been a week of people asking me about backup and data protection and image protection.
Right.
It's like I must have had like 5 inquiries.
And you said, I don't care enough about any of my photos to bother.
Exit. I did, actually. Were you there?
Hey?
Were you there? Or have I said that before? That's not word for word, dude. With the exception of, unless it's of my kids,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Right. That's funny enough. Yeah, you should mention that. But I mentioned to a few people this week a thing called M-Disc.
Right.
And I'm not sure if we've talked about it in the past.
No.
We may have touched on it. But this is a new type of Blu-ray disc, which is etched in stone.
This is an April Fool's joke, right?
This is not an April Fool's joke. This is a genuine, and it has it's the only disc that's been approved by the American military defense force for storage.
In stone. This has got to be a gimmick.
It is not a gimmick. It's not. So their Blu-ray disc holds 25 gig of data.
Yeah.
Per disc, which is pretty darn good.
That's what Blu-ray does anyway. Yeah,
but it's got 1,000 years lifespan.
Wow.
There's nothing else on the market which has, and I've been following these guys for a few years, for a good couple of years, when they didn't have, before their Blu-ray, when they only had DVD, so it's not something new. But yeah, it's the only data storage solution to withstand the rigorous testing by the U.S. Department of Defense and Fisheries. Doesn't really say fisheries. Just thought I'd throw that one in there.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch the video later. So
go and watch the video. But once again, MDisc, I've got the link there. We can put it in the podcast. People can go and look at it. It's we should get in touch with them. Tell them to send us free stuff. And so we can test it and talk about it again.
Well, presumably you would have to have a Blu-ray writer in order to use it.
It only works with certain writers.
Right.
So with certain compatible, M-Disc-ready compatible drives.
Yep.
LG's got a bunch, Asus, Panasonic, Liton.
That is pronounced Asus. Asus.
Yeah, same thing.
Asus. Yes.
Buffalo, Panasonic. So there's quite a few drives out there already that will write on this stuff.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. How freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like an April Fool's joke.
It does. But it's, to me, that could be an exceptionally good solution because, by the looks of it, it doesn't have the scratching issues, the same issues of being, if you get a DVD or CD scratched, you're in trouble. This doesn't have it.
The issue that I have with something like that is, it's a form of media which requires dedicated hardware to read it back.
No, I think it's dedicated hardware to write it.
Yes, but you then need dedicated hardware to read it.
Not necessarily.
I.e. a Blu-ray player.
Oh, yeah. But
and 1,000 years from now, the likelihood of you finding a Blu-ray player...
would be... I'd love to have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to be around.
It'd be about the same of you trying to find a book today written on papyrus.
Actually, you probably could find that because it's a weird industry, those sort of things. But but yeah, the thing is, yeah, it's not so much that you expect to be able to access it in 100 years. Is that, let's say, in 10 years, when everyone's changing over, I want my discs not to have scratches on them and they no longer work. It's the failure of the disc more so than inability to read.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So DVDs, you know, it's like I put a brand new DVD in the DVD player the other day for my daughter, Peppa Pig's birthday party.
Yeah.
And nothing but high culture at my house. And brand new out of the box, scratches.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's... Now, if that's images, we're in trouble. Yeah. This thing doesn't scratch. Yeah. It's the only one that's resistant to, what to say, it's resistant to temperature, humidity, sunlight, all the stuff that use organic dyes, which is what a lot of the other discs use.
Yeah.
All sorts of problems. So it's... Yeah.
I just think cloud storage is going to be the way to go.
Yeah, but whose computer is it on?
Somebody else's, but you don't have only one. Yeah, but
what if theirs goes down?
You don't have only one.
And also, you've got to have a multiple cloud storage.
Yeah.
Too hard to manage.
Nah, bollocks.
It's too hard.
Someone will come up with a way whereby you will have distributed RAID-like redundancy across multiple cloud storage services.
One day they will. They haven't yet, though, so it's still a problem.
Yeah, okay.
So, but here's the thing.
You can do it manually today.
In Australia, for those who don't listen, your companies every week they pay a portion of your on top of your wage into a thing called superannuation, a retirement scheme.
Yes.
Okay. So you could be working companies, they're putting money aside, like 17% every month or whatever it is, 11% or whatever it is.
9% in Australia at the moment.
9% straight into an account, everything. But here's the thing. Every day you hear adverts on the TV for people who've lost, because they've had several jobs, and they've lost their money. Yeah. Who knows where. If people aren't careful enough to even keep track of where they put their money, what are they going to do with their images? This is cash. This is their retirement that's getting lost. And obviously it's enough that the entire industry is built up around finding lost these lost accounts.
Yeah.
This is people's cash and they're not that careful with it.
Yeah, but the young hipster generation care more about their photos than about their cash.
Oh, no. They care a bit more about getting their photos onto Snapchat and Instagram for 10 minutes. That's not about saving them, protecting them.
Okay.
Anyway. But anyway, I like it. I think it looks pretty good. And if you keep being derisive like that, they're not going to send any free stuff to us, dude.
Well, I don't have a Blu-ray writer, so I don't care.
No, I want to get him to send that to us too.
All right, okay.
Anyway, so that's all the new stuff. Well, it's not really. I've got a few other things, but that'll do for now. Let's talk about some of the stuff we're going to talk about last week.
Okay, well, you were the one who sent me 5,000 things to talk about.
Oh, so it's all about me again now, is it?
Yeah, of course. This whole podcast is all about you, mate.
We should change the name.
I thought you knew that by now.
Just change it. It's all about glyn.com.
That's it.
I might register that website whilst I'm at it. That's pretty good.
Have you been pestered for, I guess if you host your own site, you probably have. Have you been being pestered by your hosting provider to buy .photography domains?
No, funnily enough.
You haven't?
Mm.
Oh, well, my...
That's because my website doesn't...
Well, you see, with my hosting package, right, my main hosting account is audiotu.com, and under that I've got all the other domains that I host websites, you know, four, but they're all hosted under the one account. And one of those other domains is brucewilliamsphotography.com.
Yeah.
So they've been sending me emails going, you know, you can grab brucewilliamsphotography.photography before it's gone.
Wow, because you'd want that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you could change it into just to brucewilliams.photography.com.
Yes, I know. No, not .com. .photography
Brucewilliams.photography. That would confuse people because they'd all be putting the .com on the end and they'd never find you.
That's exactly right. But I thought the repetition of photography was a nice touch.
Well, yeah, you never know. Photography.com. No, actually, .photography would be even better, you know. People would be under no confusion about what you do.
Yeah.
I have this ongoing argument with people about what they call their businesses in this photographic world, and right, with all the bizarre spellings and names that mean nothing to anybody.
Yep.
Just tell people what you do. Don't make it confusing. Yep. Bruce Williams Photography. Oh, I wonder what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty darn simple. Don't make it hard. Yeah. Oh, we had this great photographer. What was his name? Bruce Williams. Oh, look him up. Not bwp.photographer.net.john.billy.au. Yeah, too confusing. Anyway.
Anyway, so what else have you got on your list?
Well, let's have a look here. 500px, you know the website 500px.
Yep.
They're going to be the first company to offer Lytro sharing photos on their website.
All so right.
They'll upload Lytro photos, and it's going to have the built-in player that you'll be able to do your own image manipulation with it.
Nice.
That's kind of where Lytro, we're trying to make it more easily to access and share these images.
Yeah, right.
It's not been so easy so far.
Yeah, well, because obviously they're not a standard JPEG.
Yeah, exactly. So they're kind of tricky little things to show.
Yeah.
And then last week when I was in town and I was walking past this great wall of secondhand window for camera window, and looking at the stuff that's been there probably since 1973, some of the stuff in that window has been there for a long while. And one of the major camera stores, they've got a massive amount of real estate for secondhand gear.
Okay.
But there in the window, they had some of the, you know, the Rokinon brand of lenses there.
I know the name.
Yeah, we don't know who makes them, some who knows who out of where, but they've got tilt shift lenses.
Right.
And I'd never seen their tilt shift lenses before, just their portrait lenses. So if anyone's looking at trying to get into tilt shift at a moderate price, these things are thousands of dollars cheaper than the Canon and Nikon equivalents.
Right.
That's kind of cool. They've got like a 24mm and like a 17mm.
Right.
They're still not cheap.
Okay. But
a third of the price of the other brands, which was pretty darn cool, I thought. Learned something new. I didn't know they were doing those things.
Fair enough.
And should we talk about the Six Flags guy?
I haven't actually looked at that link yet.
Really?
I just saw that you've got it there. So no, I will
well, basically
load up that link right now.
Well, it's a video, so you've got to kind of watch it.
Oh, okay.
But basically, well, what it was is a guy, a photographer, a fairly well-known photographer. Yeah, but this guy went to Six Flags, and he's wearing I Shoot Raw T-shirt.
Right.
He wasn't allowed in.
Oh, this is Jared.
Yeah.
Frono's photo.
Yeah, Frono's photo. Not allowed in.
What?
Because he was wearing an I Shoot Raw T-shirt. They considered it insensitive.
What? Yeah, insensitive to who?
Well, that's what he couldn't quite figure out. That's why he got this part of this video, this YouTube video, is him filming the security guards kicking him out.
I Shoot now, Raw. How I don't know understand how that's raw, insensitive to anything or anyone.
Raw is the implication to nude Americans that can get a bit. Yeah, also the word I shoot. Shooting is fairly sensitive over there as well.
Okay.
So it's an interesting, wow, interesting development is being what you get kicked out of a place for. I'd say the only time I ever got any real noticeable attention in the US when walking around New York, yeah, where normally no one ever looks at you, was when I was wearing my purple Arts Federation Australia T-shirt set. They're saying, I'm a photographer, not a criminal.
Yep.
And everyone stared at me. So it's amazing how the T-shirt can say quite a bit about you, Yeah, but watch that video. It's kind of interesting, and it's kind of strange that you know what it's like as well with security guards. Yeah, you know, people with a small, unless there's any of our listeners that are security guards, would love you all, but it gives somebody a small amount of power, and they often want to use it.
Yeah,
and that could have been a little bit more the case with these guys.
Yeah, right.
And then I saw this week as well that Sony have come out with a patent for curved sensors.
Yeah, this surfaced a couple of months back.
Yeah, you know what it's for, don't you?
Cameras?
No, it's for the curved TV. So when you take your photos on the curved TV sensor and you show them on a curved TV, they look normal.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me.
The interesting thing about this technology is that
you notice, listeners, how he just straight past that, just ignores it completely and just keeps on going.
Treating it with the contempt it deserved. But the thing that's interesting about this technology is that what they're claiming is that it will reduce vignetting.
Yeah.
And that there'll be much more.
Well, of course, it'll just be closer to the light, won't it? It won't fall off as quickly. This is closer.
Oh dear.
No?
Anyway.
Go on, you're obviously all over it. And also distortions and chromatic aberration and also they say it's going to be better photos all around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because the front element of the lens is curved.
Yes.
So if the sensor is curved as well, then theoretically there should be less discrepancy between the distance from the middle of the front element of the lens to the middle of the sensor compared with the outer edges of the front element to the edges of the sensor.
Yes. So you're lost. Welcome to ShutterSync episode.
I know what I'm talking about.
For the tech heads out there, I'm sure they just got that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. No. So I think mine makes it a little bit more succinct. The edges are closer to the light, Bruce.
If you say so.
But what if it's not curved the same curvature of the lens?
Well, of course, it can't be exactly the same because every lens is different.
Exactly.
But the point is, every front element of a lens is curved.
Yes.
To some degree.
It's curved the opposite way.
How do you know? How do you know the sensor's curving backwards and not curving forwards?
I looked at the picture.
Oh, you can't trust those pictures, mate.
Or it could be.
They photoshopped it.
That's how to keep the patents safe. Now, that's everyone's right. Going to rush out and do fake.
Throw them a red herring.
Copy their sensors. They're all bad because they've got reverse twist. Fantastic. Yeah, some fabulous stuff.
Industrial espionage down the toilet.
Yeah. And last week we did talk about Photoshop, Adobe doing their big announcement.
The focus masks?
Yeah. About all the stuff they're doing, all the new update to the new update to Photoshop CC.
To Creative Cloud, yep.
Creative Cloud, yep. And so the iPad app that you can do your Lightroom.
For Lightroom, yep.
Is now available also on your phone.
On your iPhone, right.
So you can do it across multiple devices now.
That would be very inconvenient to use, I would imagine, because you haven't got a lot of real estate on your phone.
But you've only taken photos of small things.
Right. It's good for macro photography.
Macro photographers. Landscape, not so good.
Oh, dear.
That makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I updated my Adobe CC today. That I'll get a couple of quick focus masks in and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Not available yet.
No.
Of course.
Because what is the date today? Today's the 19th, so it should have happened today.
Yeah. No.
No?
Yeah, no. But a few.
Wasn't it meant to be the 18th in America, yep, which would be the 19th here?
Yep. But no.
What? Did they cancel it? Did they postpone it?
They announced it all. It just hasn't updated.
Oh.
As people have said, why would they possibly actually launch the thing on the launch date?
Wow. That's a bit silly.
Some places that have got it, because I've seen some people saying, I've done some tests already, and varying, depending on who you talk to, varying results as far as how good it works.
Right.
Still, I'm still hanging out. I'm having hope.
Yeah.
But that seems like the biggest change, I think, really for us. A few people are bleating that there's not enough changes to Lightroom and so on, and there's no new killer features in Lightroom.
The thing is, what do you need Lightroom to do that it doesn't do yet?
I'd like those people to come out with suggestions for what they want Lightroom to be able to do.
Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, introducing the ability to work with layers, but then you're treading on Photoshop's toes. I mean, Lightroom does everything else that you want it to do, I would have thought. I've certainly not thought of a usage case that I, you know, have thought, oh, geez, I wish Lightroom did that, because it does pretty much everything I want it to do.
And once again, if you're on a $10 subscription a month, you've got both anyway.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Photoshop, if you need to go beyond that quick stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
And then I came across this thing, the best small investment tips to become a pro photographer.
Right.
I thought, this can be good. What can we spend not much money on to become professional? A tripod.
That's going to make you a professional.
Rather than holding your camera, if you put it on something steady, you'll become a professional photographer.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's yeah, well, okay, maybe not, you know. That's not going to make an awe to me, yeah. You know?
This reminds me of a blog post that I read through the week where a guy who works as an animator for Disney Pixar had received via his blog a question from a young girl who, you know, she likes to draw and wanted to know, how do I get to become an animator at Pixar?
Yes.
And he basically, I'll tell you the short version, he said, essentially you're asking, how do you shortcut the 25 years that it took me to hone my skills to get to the point where I was an asset worthy of hiring by Disney Pixar?
So how do you do it?
You spend 25 years honing your skills.
No, but that's like the old analog days. Digital, everything's faster, dude.
He basically said you're asking the wrong questions. You know?
Hey, no, look, when I got my first computer, it'd take 30 minutes to load up a basic game. Okay, yeah. On the cassette. And usually after about the 28 minute, it'd have a fault and you have to rewind and start again.
Yeah.
So it'll take you an hour to play a game that you're going to play for 5 minutes. Well, you can do that now in about 30 seconds.
That's right.
So that's got faster.
Yes. Yes, it has. And the relevance of that is?
Well, digital. It's the vibe. It's Marbo. It's just the vibe of the thing.
Digital answers everything.
Digital technology solves all problems, you know? Surely there's an app for that. Pixar animation app. You just best then you become one. No?
Maybe.
Step two to becoming a professional photographer,
yeah,
get a cheap old film camera.
Right.
Not only will it help your overall skills and understanding of photography, but if you experiment with such a camera for a while, it would also allow you to produce some wonderful pictures which current cameras couldn't really achieve in the same way.
Right.
Now, that's totally true. Because it couldn't achieve in the same way, because these ones, you've got to process the film.
That's right.
Wait, it's not the same way at all. It's completely different. But there's this strange thing about the new generation of photographers who think film is something magical.
Yeah.
There's some mystical, if it's shot on film, it elevates it. No.
No.
Photography, right with light.
Yeah.
That's it. doesn't matter. Not right with cellulite. anyway, that's, I like that. It's not quite correct, but it's kind of funny. and here's the other thing. Step number, there's only three steps.
Right.
So it's pretty good. Step one, get a tripod.
Yeah.
Step two, get an old film camera.
Yeah.
And step three, get a high-powered monolight.
Right. Why?
Well, why? It says why. In particular, because one of these can be used indoors to take studio-like photos, but also portable enough to take outdoors. And it's great until you can afford an actual photo studio.
Okay.
Those three things.
So I could use a dolphin torch?
Now, here's the weird thing. Only 14 people have liked this post on Facebook. Just, I would say, yeah, fairly low. I might just like it myself now just for the... You know, it's just
so I'm hoping that you've harvested those 14 names and you've sent them all an invitation to your next workshop.
Isn't it funny how you kind of pigeonhole something as... You can't define. Like, how do you become an animator? It doesn't necessarily take 25. It just took that guy 25 years. Okay, it doesn't take everybody.
No, because that's true. It may not take everybody 25 years.
Yeah. So how do you become a photographer? Well, you can't narrow it down to something so simple, because there's some people who've only been shooting for a very short time who are phenomenal.
Yes.
And some people have been shooting forever and they're nominal. Still crap.
Yeah.
They're the nominal. Yes. Phenomenal and nominal.
Yes.
That's two cracking bad dad jokes in a few minutes. Oh, bring on the cold more often, I say. it's just a different path for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say this in my talks when I'm talking at camera clubs, that I said this last night when I was doing my talk, you can't go to New York City as an example and photograph New York City. And all you can do is photograph your experience of New York City.
Yeah.
All you can ever do is photograph what your experiences and stuff. So if you're in amazing places doing amazing things and more often, it's going to accelerate your growth and your image is going to be stronger and you're going to develop and grow. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere and you get a chance to pick up your camera once a week,
yep.
And that's 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 2:30 in the afternoon, everyone's pathway is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say there's more than three steps to small investment to becoming a pro photographer.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the best ones would be, I'd say, isn't it? Workshop, obviously. Yeah. highly recommended. And here's another little cool thing. How to avoid dropping your camera. And now knowing how much I drop my cameras, this is, of course, immediately. So step one,
hold on to it.
Immediately caught my eye, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it's got some good tips about when you're most likely to drop your camera.
Right.
So here we go. So passing the camera among friends.
Right.
Not surprising. This is one of the most common occurrences where a photographer drops the camera. I would say the photographer doesn't. One of his friends probably does.
Yeah, exactly.
Just quietly. When replacing the battery.
What?
Yeah, when you're replacing the battery, often people are holding the camera with one hand and the battery with the other. The camera slips out of their hand.
Right.
So put it on a steady surface.
Right.
Good tip.
Well, that's why failure I use a battery grip with two batteries in it, so you don't have to change batteries until you get home at night.
Yeah.
Anyway, ideally, sorry, next.
A failure of a camera strap can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Where the camera falls off the strap and, well, there's one. Yeah?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't balance the camera on the strap like that. That's just ridiculous.
Using the self-timer.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought when I first thought. Using the self-timer is a fairly common time. What it turns out to be is when you're not using your tripod, you're using your self-timer. So you put your camera on a bench because it's that panic rush to run around to get in front of the camera. You knock your camera and you're running past.
Right.
On the ground. There you go.
That's why you don't use the 2 second timer. You use the 10 second timer so you don't have to rush.
See, if you could program your damn cameras to whatever you want, this wouldn't be a problem at all. Oh, 37
seconds. There we go.
So, I know. I'm back on that pony again. Using the tripod is a common time when people drop their cameras.
Right.
Because they kick the leg and it falls. I've got to say, probably the most common time that I've almost dropped my camera using tripods has been trying to put the camera on the tripod at night.
Yes.
And you don't have a quick release plate. You're trying to screw the damn thing on there.
Yeah.
And that can be very fiddly. I'll give
Do you not
that.
Leave your base plate attached to the camera all the time?
No. I'm talking in going back old school, back to the days when there was no base plate.
Okay, right.
It's not the quick release plate when I start that.
Right. Yeah. I just leave my quick release plate on all the time.
But all my straps connect to my base there anyway, so I can't anyway. So
okay, fair
if
enough.
If I wanted to, I wouldn't.
No.
Taking odd angle photos. Because you're not fully balanced. Sometimes you'll fall over and break your camera. And lastly, but not least, doing two, or in brackets, or three, in brackets, things at once. I want to add to that, Bruce.
Yeah.
Doing two, three, possibly even four things at once.
Right.
Double brackets. Obviously. So most accidents occur when you aren't fully focused on the task at hand. I'm thinking that's not meant to be a photographic pun, being fully focused.
Yeah.
Then you just look through the viewfinder. But there's some very good tips to stop you dropping your camera.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
And that's about it. Other than, I did see, and I haven't had a good time to look at, the new Panasonic FZ1000. Have you seen this sucker?
No.
It's got a 1-inch sensor.
Right.
A 25 to 400 zoom.
Whoa.
And it's 2.8 to f4.
Holy crap. And it's got 4 at 400 mil.
And it's got 4K video.
Whoa. I'm assuming this is APS-C sensor.
I'd imagine, yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's getting some rave reviews for people looking for an all-in-one camera for travel or whatever. That's a fairly versatile piece of kit.
Yeah. Yeah, so a 1-inch MOS sensor, so that's 25 mil. So, yeah, it'd be APS-C or close enough.
Or 1-inch, yeah, give or take. Yeah.
Thereabouts.
Yep. You can see a 35 mil sensor is 35 mil and 1-inch is only 25 mil.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I said 1-inch, so it's about 25 mil.
I know. So. I'm making those people know when they think about funny thing is people don't often think when they think 35 mil,
yeah,
that they actually mean 35 millimetres.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of got lost.
Has it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
It's just a terminology, but they don't actually think about it in actual.
Right.
35 millimetres.
Right. Yeah.
Back in the. It's just become lost in translation. I may be assuming.
If anyone is unclear, the dimensions are the diagonal length across the sensor. I'm just saying, if it's got that lost, maybe we should just remind people.
Is that why my 60 inch TV is not really 60 inches?
I don't know. I haven't measured your.
I'm talking man inches here, too, by the way. Other than that, that's about it for me for this week, Bruce. I'm going to call it an early night and go to bed.
Did you see the comment from Steve Peters on the Facebook wall?
No.
Gentlemen, your debate in this week's podcast about innovation, etc. This is obviously relating to last week's
episode. I thought you meant his comment about my conversation I had today at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No.
So I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken today for lunch.
Right.
And I've gone to the drive-through, and I've gone to the speaker. Regular popcorn chicken combo, please.
Yeah.
Out of the speaker. So, you want a regular popcorn chicken, regular fries, and a regular drink, right? Yes.
Unless you've changed the makeup of a combo meal.
unless you've changed, and it's actually listed regular combo. it's actually a different Steve. I thought it was that Steve. He says, after all that fat, unless you'll be regular.
Steve said, gentlemen, your debate in this week's podcast about innovation, etc. I believe, watching the buy and sell sites, I'm witnessing a shift to mirrorless cameras. I've seen many high-profile Canon shooters ditch the SLR for Fuji X series, lighter equipment and better image quality being cited as reasons. Has the DSLR become too common? I believe the thinking is that they've got you locked into their lenses and therefore they'll live on forever. So he's just arguing your point that, no, they're all going to fade.
Yeah, but I would still debate the fact that you're seeing many high. And he specifies high profile Canon shooters ditch. Yeah, I would like to know which high profile shooters are using anything other than top end cameras. Frankly,
yeah.
I mean, you don't walk in if you're a $30,000 wedding photographer.
Yep. You're not going to walk into the Fuji X-Series.
Doesn't matter what you might want to use personally, you are not pulling your Fuji X1 out at a wedding.
Not as your main body. You might take it as a backup.
You'd have other full-on pro Canon bodies as your backups as well.
Yeah.
You'd never ever show up with that. Because perception is still 9/10 of the law.
Yep.
Or whatever that saying is. Conception is, no, this is everything I'll look at. You've got to look the part.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Yeah. So, yes, for going out doing your own photos, absolutely. I can see people using all sorts of stuff. But high-profile pro photographers, nah.
Mm.
I can't see it happening.
And this wouldn't be an episode of Shutter Zinc without at least one thing from Adam Davidson.
Yes, and we've got about 14 to choose from.
We have, and the one I'm choosing was the Hexo automated drone.
You're just excited about the rally if this sucker's going to come along, aren't you?
Look, I was very excited when Adam said he was going to buy a quadcopter and he's won himself a GoPro. But this thing is really amazing. And Adam also posted another link today on Facebook to another Kickstarter project that are doing exactly the same type of thing. And essentially both of these products are, you know, quad rotor copter devices which will, you know, you can mount your GoPro camera on. And obviously they each have their own way of doing it, but you can tell it, you know, keep me in the middle of the shot. And regardless of what, you know, crazy sport or sporting activity you happen to be engaging in, whether it's riding a motorcycle or, you know, canoeing down a river or whatever, this thing will hover along either in front of you, beside you, behind you, and keep you in the center of the shot the whole time, filming you on the GoPro. So you're getting these amazing aerial, you know, fly-by action shots, and they're all automated. You don't need someone flying the copter and someone else, you know, remote controlling the gimbal and the direction that the camera's facing and all this kind of stuff, because it's all just doing it for itself.
Yeah.
And it just reiterates this mantra that you've had over the last half dozen episodes about, you know, the innovation that's coming to photography, you know, through new technology. Just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. One last thing.
Yeah.
Because we're all in breath about, you know, Kanye and Kardashian wedding.
Oh,
the wedding photos.
I couldn't give a rat's.
What?
I couldn't give a rat's.
What? Really?
No.
Jimmy, really? Well, happened to me either. hey. But their column on this site's been not only liked on Facebook, it's been shared on Facebook 11,000 times. It beats the 14 from the other one, doesn't it?
What are we talking about? What did they share?
Well, they shared a photo of them kissing. It's the most liked photo ever on Instagram, okay? Oh. Them kissing in front of a wall of flowers. But what I didn't know is that apparently Annie Leibovitz was scheduled to shoot their wedding.
Right.
I don't know why she would have agreed, but apparently she pulled out 24 hours before the wedding.
Wow.
Yeah.
She suddenly realized who it was and went, I want nothing to do with it.
Well, in Kanye's words, he goes, I think that she was, you know, like scared of the idea of celebrity.
Oh, Kanye, you've so got your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
I know. So apparently, I don't know who ended up shooting their wedding, but he didn't try to make these photos look like anything.
It was probably Kanye's Uncle Bob.
Uncle Larry, actually. So kind of funny.
Was heaps cheaper.
I have to find the story about Annie Leibovitz pulling out. You can't afford much, so I'm sure Uncle Larry was a better option.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway.
All right, mate, good to talk to you.
You too. I'll hopefully feeling back to my normal insulting self next week.
Absolutely. All right, well, you have a good week.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
See ya. Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out ShutterZinkPodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.